Hello, friends. On today's show, we talk about ethics and well-being, turtles, and a runaway alpaca. Watch out! Jessica, please give us the intro.
We all need that one friend, don't we? The one that, no matter how crazy things get around us, always has some good news to share? Hey, what if you had two friends like that? That's twice the good times. On the rocks, not for long, because everything sounds better when you're two beers in. Now, here are your hosts, Brett Weaver and Monica Ballard.
We're replacing him with AI Brett next episode.
Great. yesterday was hilarious because our friend Alex came over on art night, as he usually does, where they do art and talk about art things. And BK and Alex decide to take a walk right around 7 p.m. And I'm already hearing rumbly bumblings, right? And I said to them, you know, I think if you're going to go, you better go. But I think you're too late. And they're like, no, it'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
And they step outside, and literally 2 minutes later, wall of water comes through the neighborhood. And I just start dying laughing because they're just across the street. They hadn't gone that far. And I can hear them go, oh, whoa, oh, whoa. And I'm laughing my ass off as they get dumped, soaked with water. Literally a wall of water came through. It looked like something from The Fog, the movie The Fog. And, yeah, amazing.
Hey, honey, a flash flood warning just came in on my phone. Shut up and get out of my way.
I was in the choir loft of a church built in 1884, preparing for our Pentecost Sunday service.
The fifth one, right? Sorry.
Right.
And suddenly there is a great sound, like a rushing wind. As described.
Were you all filled with the Holy Spirit?
As described.
Did you start speaking in tongues?
I swear we summoned the Holy Spirit for Pentecost. And the violinist, one of the violinists who is playing for the service, eventually made it up to the wall. He said, I'm sorry, I've been stuck in my car for 15 minutes. I couldn't open the car door. And when we came out, the weather had cleared and all that.
Done, yeah.
But there were tree limbs everywhere.
Sure.
And there was a garbage can wedged under my tire, under the front of my car. And I pulled it out and it was kind of like, okay, this isn't a city garbage can. So where does it live generally? And I looked directly in front of me, and between the cathedral and the rectory, there's a breezeway. And I'll say, I'll lay odds. It came rambling down the breezeway.
Down the breezeway.
And
right and right, said, you know, I'm going to hide under
I'm
going to
hide
car.
Under.
I'll
under,
stay here.
Yeah, so I took it back up there and set it down. And Jeffrey, choir master Jeffrey, came out of the cathedral. I said, does this look like it belongs here? And he said, I don't know. Where was it? And I said, it was under my car. And he was like, what?
So, tis the season for garbage can migration.
That's right.
It, yeah.
That's right.
And they come across the plains and hide under Corvettes.
Speaking of migrations.
Yes.
You're listening to Two Beers In.
Okay.
Yep. It's a podcast.
Lost us.
Where we migrate from one bar to another.
Okay.
Right. And from one topic to another.
Yes.
Got us back.
Thank you. That's banter.
Banter.
That's right.
Banter.
That's
Ow!
Right. Oh, you're the one. You committed.
That's true.
Don't high five faces.
We're enjoying alcohol and some great stories, along with interesting weather that's going on. I am your host, Brett Weaver. I am enjoying, well, I enjoyed earlier a coconut
mojito
frozen in an icy glass, and now I'm enjoying a cherry lime cola frozen in a glass.
Alcoholic drink.
Yep. I'm your co-host, Monica Ballard, and I...
Good luck.
Here's what I told Holly.
Holly.
Behind the bar.
Yes.
I said, I want something in a tall glass involving rum and various fruit punches.
All right.
And yes. She threw everything in here.
And so
I
she
think.
Did.
She okay. did. She understood the assignment, yep. as the young people say these yep. days. And it is garnished with a couple of mint leaves and a maraschino cherry.
Yep.
But a little heavy on the grapefruit. On the grapefruit.
She did a grapefruit soda in it. I know yeah. that there's rum in there.
Yep. There's an orange slice
yep.
in there.
There's
I'm
kind of
poking at it to make it a little sweeter. Because it does have a tart aspect to
so
it.
So it did not. She did not win the assignment.
No.
But she went for it.
She went for it. And I said, what do I call this? Because I got to describe this on a podcast. And she said, oh, just call it the Holly.
Yes.
The Holly.
Yes.
And all
she
I
gave
heard,
up herself.
All I heard from her was, I'm cute. I'm cute.
I'm cute. I'm cute. I'm cute. I'm cute. Blah, blah, blah.
There's Doug over there.
Yes. And the reason I knew what he was drinking is I had the same thing. Frozen coconut mojito, which... had this weird bleachy aftertaste the first couple of sips.
Oh, jeez.
But after about four sips, it was just fine.
It tastes like pickle juice and bleach.
Yeah. Did we mention where we were?
No.
Where we are?
I was just about to say.
Okay. All right.
We are here at Busty's. Back at Busty's.
Back.
Over.
At
and
Busty's.
Here comes my food, wow. which I will not be eating for another 20 minutes.
I'll take it.
Hey, you can always edit.
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, oh, please, God, don't fucking do that.
What?
He was eating on mic.
Oh.
Yeah.
We're
here at Busty's off of Cameron Road mm-hmm. and 290 in Austin, Texas. A great little place that we've visited once before. And I was trying to get fancy with other places for us to go. Like the Tiny Minotaur was one place that I was looking at.
Yeah.
They don't open till 7.
No.
Well, and then there was a...
Screw the Minotaur.
Someplace backyard, something backyard. But they have a band that started at 6:30. So I was like, you know, Busty's sounds great.
Busty's.
We can have tasty frozen drinks.
Surrounded by... Busty Playboy bunnies.
The
sure.
Bootylicious.
Yep.
Yes.
We are very happy to be here, is what I'm saying. We got four stories for you, and we will be making commentary. I was going to start with this first one. I think it's too long.
It is. Yeah.
And so I'm going to go to the second story. Do you want to do the second story? No, I will take on the okay. second story. That's good.
I was focused on the first story.
Okay. Well, then, yeah, figure out how to sum up. Because that's a sum up.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
The second story is a sum up.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, but I'm saying the first story, I summed it up. And yet it's still that long.
Wow.
Yeah, that's right. So, New York cops wrangle on the lamb alpaca. I'm already angry at this. At car dealership in bizarre roundup.
All right.
Westchester County Police. How do they say it in New York? Is it Westchester?
Westchester.
Okay. County police were forced to wrangle an unusual runaway.
You're thinking Worcester, right? From
yes,
Massachusetts?
I never know. All right.
Westchester.
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 Westchester. Anyway. An alpaca that escaped from a nearby trailer, as you do, and clomped its way onto the streets of the village of Mount Kisco, not Cusco.
Or Crisco.
No, you would think Cusco because Emperor's New Groove
right.
takes place in Cusco.
Right.
And he becomes a llama.
That's true.
Did I just spoil it?
I get it.
Did
All
I just
right.
spoil it? No, touchy. We are.
No.
We get all kinds of interesting 911 calls, the department said on Instagram. Turns out it was actually an alpaca that was on the lam. Hate this.
Oh, no.
But still a pretty good initial description compared to some we get. Turns out the alpaca was on fentanyl. No, it was not. had slipped out of a trailer near the motel or the hotel MTK.
BTK?
BTK on Pat Riley Way. Wow, this is very,
oh, wow.
This is very specific.
Very specific. Then it made its way over to Kisco, not Cusco, Avenue near the Land Rover dealership. The typically docile animals are staples at kids' birthday parties. The furry four-legged escapee was soon rounded up and reunited with its owner. We're taking a guess here, but we think somewhere there's a kid's birthday party that just went on just as planned, the county police quipped.
All right. That's the best they got, huh?
Yep, that's pretty good.
Don't start the Las Vegas tour.
I did not want them to say on the lamb. It's like, stop saying on the lamb.
Yes, all right.
Very angry.
No, there was a lamb under him. Check it out.
Yeah.
Oh.
Squish.
He's very soft.
I don't think I've ever petted in an alpaca before.
I do remember when we had the when I had the paper route, there was the emu farm that I delivered to. That was kind of interesting because emus would come up and like, "Hey, you have food? Can I bite your fingers off?"
Yeah, there's an emu farm off of Manchac Road in that neighborhood. At least there used to be. I took a wrong turn one day, and all of us kind of like, "Oh, hey."
Yeah, I know.
Oh, no,
it
I've
looks
gone
out of place.
Too far.
Oh, no, I'm in Australia.
My God, I've driven to Australia.
Yeah, what happened?
I don't even...
There were
oh, that was a left.
That's what
Make
happened.
Make a right at Albuquerque. That's right. So, Monica,
yes,
are you ready?
Sure. You might want to grab that burger.
Go for it. It's going to be a while.
From debate to dialogue, in a contentious era, Ethics Bowl offers students a gentler alternative.
Interesting.
While traditional debate focuses on articulating and defending an assigned position through persuasive rhetoric and the dismantling of opposing viewpoints, Ethics Bowl offers a distinctly different approach to discussing complex issues. Instead of the adversarial competition, Ethics Bowl fosters collaborative exploration and mutual understanding.
It's like they're doing the whole yes and thing.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yes. So in a world often seeking quick and easy answers, Ethics Bowl underscores the importance of the deliberative process, the journey of thoughtful conversation and nuanced exploration is as crucial as any definitive outcome. A well-designed Ethics Bowl case presents scenarios where multiple well-reasoned, value-driven perspectives can legitimately exist. So they kind of through this give an example of, I think you probably edited this since I saw it earlier today.
Maybe.
Competitiveness, when prioritized over genuine inquiry and respect, can hinder the core goals of Ethics Bowl. The most successful teams are often those that prioritize truth-seeking and respectful dialogue over simply trying to win.
Yes.
I love that. Love that that approach.
I think that's definitely something that's missing nowadays.
Oh, absolutely. Ultimately, Ethics Bowl aims to develop well-rounded individuals who can thoughtfully consider different viewpoints and engage in respectful dialogue. Surveys of participants reveal significant improvements in critical thinking skills, and shifts in ethical and political beliefs. The growing popularity of Ethics Bowl demonstrates a desire for a different kind of intellectual engagement. Students who may have previously approached discussions with an adversarial mind point report a shift toward more respectful and truth-oriented communication.
There was a time where...
And then they kiss.
What's funny is there was a time when Doug and I used to have arguments.
I just believe.
Yep. That was years ago, before all of this happened. He and I were having a logical argument. And at one point, I just got tired of it. Even though he was all in the... And I just decided, you know what? I believe this because I believe it.
Like,
And you're like, yeah, but there needs to be logic to it.
Like,
no.
Wow, it's like arguing with a nun.
Yes.
Yep.
No, you just have to take it on faith.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no, wait. No, you just have to take it on faith.
Yeah.
It's an article of faith.
Yep.
Just take it on faith. This is the way it is.
So you believe in the Easter Bunny too, right?
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. That was my Catholic school upbringing.
Yeah.
Sister, why does St. Peter have two keys? Is there a back door to heaven? Oh!
Oh, yes, there is.
Whoa. And that happened to me in the Catholic Church, too, when I was asking. I was a altar boy, and I asked the priest, like, why do we have to read these prayers? Like, if you're reading something, you don't believe it as much as you do. If you come up, and why do I need to pray to Mary? Why don't I go to the source that I'm going, and he's like, we don't think about such things. I'm like, I'm leaving the church. Look at that. And so what did I do? I went over to John Osteen's church instead.
Yeah, things I need so money. Clearer.
Yeah, right.
Why do you need money? Oh, you just have to take it on faith.
You know.
I need money.
Reach the unreached. Tell the untold.
Ferraris don't feed themselves gas.
That's true.
That's right.
All right, let's hear your take on the next one.
The Galapagos.
Yay! All righty. Those drinks can't be too strong.
I said Galapagos correctly. Three more. Thank you, Philadelphia. Because three more critically endangered Galapagos tortoises hatch at the Philadelphia Zoo. Do you know why the Galapagos tortoise is so rare and an endangered species?
Bad dating apps?
No.
No appearances on Soul Train?
No. It is because they are so damn tasty. That is the problem. That is the problem. They got the dang it. Who's the
Charles
guy?
Charles Darwin.
Yeah, Darwin. He captured a few to bring him back to England, and unfortunately ate them.
They were delicious.
They were delicious. The Philadelphia Zoo announces that the hatching of three more critically endangered Western Santa Cruz Galapagos tortoises. These male hatchlings are from the same clutch that produced four females earlier in 2025. Their parents, Mommy and Abrazo, are the zoo's oldest residents, about 100 years old. Mommy is a genetically valuable tortoise and the oldest first-time mother of her species in the AZA's Species Survival Plan. The male hatchlings, currently behind the scenes, are developing well. They're the first egg pipped. See, I didn't know that was I guess they cracked, right?
Yes.
Opened on April 14th, with the others following in subsequent weeks. They are yet to be named, unlike their sisters, who were named by the public as Dorothy, Rose, Blanche, and Sophia. And not Tortoisey Tort Face.
Tortoisey Tort Face.
Both male and female hatchlings will alternate between their public habitat and the reptile and amphibious house for optimal care. The zoo is also monitoring 16 eggs laid by Mommy in January 2025, with 9 showing signs of development. These eggs are being incubated at temperatures to produce both males, 6, and females, 3, and could begin hatching soon. This breeding program is part of the AZA SSP to conserve this critically endangered species, which faces threats like human-wildlife conflict, invasive species, and soups.
Yeah.
Joel Magerman, president and CEO, expressed joy in sharing this story and emphasized the educational and conservation impact of Mommy, Abrazo, and the hatchlings And the hatchlings. I love that. And the hatchlings.
And
because immediately it's
one of my
Rachel Betts.
And the hatchlings.
And the hatchlings are here. To support the hatchlings' care, the zoo has designed T-shirts featuring photos of the baby tortoises and mommy with slogans like, never too late, saving species since 1859, and it's a great bouillabaisse with a little bit of sherry. Proceeds.
Whoa. What's that last slogan there?
Live long and grow a thick shell.
Yeah, words to live by.
And become the bowl for the soup that is you.
No.
Proceeds will benefit the zoo's animal care fund. So they're crucial to the breeding program and aimed at ensuring the survival and genetic diversity of this species.
Well, I do know that the last Voyager from the Beagle that Charles Darwin was on just passed away a couple of years ago. Mm. He brought a tortoise to Queen Victoria.
Oh. Uh-huh.
And it lived, they estimate, 168 years.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
And he kept wiping his mouth when he looked at it.
And then they ate him.
Yeah, well, he didn't die of natural causes.
No. He got too
a
close.
Little girl said, "Can we eat him?"
Oh no! Brutal. That was an inside joke.
We'll talk about that on the Patreon.
All right.
Brutal.
Finally, daytime clubbing boosts local economy and well-being. The over 30s club leading the way.
Is this parents that are mixing on in the kitchen?
That could be.
Yeah.
Yeah, or follow-up to... I mean, they could have a job opportunity right here, except they're not very good.
It's a living.
As their son readily admitted.
They're not very good,
but, you know, they like it. All right. Daytime clubbing is emerging as a transformative trend, revitalizing local venues and boosting commerce during typically slow periods. Events like the Over 30s Club, catering to those age 30 and above.
I'm glad they explained that.
Yeah, thanks.
With afternoon dance parties from 3 p.m. to 8 p.m., demonstrate that nightlife can thrive outside the traditional late night hours. This innovation generates new revenue for venues and benefits surrounding businesses, such as restaurants, bars, and salons, as attendees prepare for their daytime outings. So weekday afternoons and early evenings often experience low customer traffic for clubs and bars. Daytime events unlock several advantages. First advantage, increased footfall.
Okay.
Attracting more people during off-peak times.
Aren't those all just unemployed people, though?
Probably.
Or maybe they're overnighters.
Yes.
Workers.
Yeah, just different time of day for them.
I just got up. I got to dance it out, man. I need to dance it out.
I got to dance to wake up.
Yep.
Boosted night business, encouraging some attendees to stay after the daytime event concludes. Spillover revenue. Benefiting nearby, get drunk enough, and there's plenty of spillover. Right?
Yeah, right.
Benefiting nearby hairdressers, fashion retailers, and restaurants.
Sure.
Local business owners are already witnessing positive effect. According to Kay Heck, a local salon owner, they've seen a surge in bookings for hairstyling before these events, resembling the activity of a Saturday night, but earlier.
I need to go get my hair done.
And then I need to dance.
You gotta dance it out.
It's like, all right, Carl, do what you gotta do, man.
So daytime clubbing offers more than just economic advantages. It significantly contributes to mental well-being. Dancing is an effective way to elevate mood, decrease stress, and alleviate loneliness. Doesn't it, Doug?
Well, and in my case, it's also birth control.
Oh,
yep.
Particularly for individuals who prefer or require earlier evenings. David Riches, founder of the Over 30s Club, emphasizes that they are cultivating a positive social environment where people can enjoy music, connect with others, and revisit the vibrant club scene of the 80s and 90s without the late night fatigue.
Very nice.
30s and over.
30s and over.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Those people really need it.
Patreon.com/2beersin
jumped in. It's all
just
you want.
Jumping right into
nice
it.
Nice segue.
Is where you can go after those dance parties to check up on us, see what we're doing, that's get an extra episode.
Yeah.
Be part of the family.
And today, apparently, find out what a little girl wants to eat.
That's right.
Join us.
It's not a turtle, I'll tell you.
No,
that.
It's not a turtle. No.
You can also, and as we always say, don't do it through the Apple Patreon app.
Nah.
Do something else. Or you can send us email at twobeersin@weightlesspod.com. We love to hear from you. We love knowing all about you. We are watching you.
Well, that went off the course.
Sorry.
And, you know, if you have suggestions for positive stories, that sort of thing.
Want to hear it?
Right? Yeah.
Want to hear it?
Yeah. Come
and
on.
If you have your own personal positive story,
yes,
that's even better.
Yes.
We want that, too. We haven't been hearing from you. It's all a shit show, isn't it?
I mean, two of these stories I collected like 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago.
Yep.
And then the other two just bubbled up naturally.
Yep.
They're kind of hard to come by. So
yes.
if you got one, we'd love
Send
to hear
it
about
on.
It. Yeah.
Be a bro.
Take the wheel.
Jesus.
Over the last week, I played some different music last week. And I got to catch some new music now. A band called Pacifica, not to be confused with the Pacifica radio stations. Or the beer. It is a duo of internet friends, Inez Adams and Martina Nintzel, who are from Buenos Aires.
Sounds made up.
I know. But it's that fun girl punk music that I realized I've been missing.
That you can hear in the over 30s club?
Only sometimes. Most of their stuff is the chill music from the lo-fi chill music that you find on YouTube.
Okay.
That's all that's playing
or
at that time.
Or in Ipanema.
Yes.
Is that lady ever going to get back to Ipanema?
No. No. She has to say,
No, that's what everybody else says.
Everybody goes,
it's that chick from Ipanema. Check it out.
So Pacifica has a new album out that you can catch on SoundCloud.
You're really shilling for these people. Do you know them?
No.
Okay.
I just like the song.
Okay.
Would you let me do the... God, come on!
All right, Sam Kennison, get back to it.
So here's more Beastie Boys.
Ooh, thank God. Skip that one.
This song is called Anita. It's from the album Freak Scene. I'm going to hit the button, but before I hit the button, I'm going to finish up this. Before I hit the button, I'm going to finish up this drink. Exactly. Of the frozen cherry lime cola with alcohol in it.
Okay.
That's frozen.
Right.
And then I'm going to eat the sandwiches too.
All right.
And I'm your host, Brett Weaver.
I'm your co-host, Monica. And I've been enjoying, once it settled down with the grapefruit, a delightful Holly's creation.
Holly revealed herself.
Holly revealed herself.
Very nice.
Eventually. So I need another one.
Hey! Banter!
Yeah!
You want a high five? Okay.
And we're stuck.
And I had a coconut mojito. Goodbye.
Yay. Again, thank you to Busties for having us out and giving us these delicious drinks. And Holly, you know what you did. All right, everybody. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
What's your name? She said, you're just my type. She said.